Saturday Selection
with Darren Rice on Beat 102-103.
Good evening. Shut down your Facebook, put your phone on silent, because I have some whopper house and techno for you coming up on tonight's Saturday Selection. New bits from Steve Lawler. I've got the Fresh Green Velvet promo. Not due out for another 6 weeks, but it's going to be banging through your speakers very, very shortly. And coming up in the Selected Mix at 11, it's an absolute honour. The man who really started it all for me. I remember being 14 years of age on a family trip to Tenby in Wales, and they were selling his tapes in an arcade for £3 each. And I absolutely cleared the place out of it. I was so bad for him, I used to send my mother into record shops looking for his albums because I was too embarrassed to ask. Mr. Carl Cox is going to be mixing it up for an hour. And to kick things off, Roger Sanchez, back in the 90s, used to go under the name The S-Man. Well, that moniker has been reborn for 2014. This is Dangerous Thoughts and The Man With No Clue on the mix. This week's guest, he's a true legend when it comes to dance music. He's been there, he's done it all, from the early Renaissance days through all the Bedrock madness, and not forgetting his legendary back-to-back sets with Sasha. He plays Life Festival at the end of the month at Belvedere House. Mr. John Digweed, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having us on the show.
Ah, no problem at all. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I know they're totally different styles to you, but like a lot of big name DJs these days, we'll call them commercial artists, so to speak. The likes of Guetta, you got Oakenfold, Tiesto and all that. They're all searching for the big commercial hit these days. They all want a chart hit. Over the years in your career, were you ever kind of approached on any kind of, you know, commercially minded ideas like that, that you may have turned down or anything? I know you were in that movie Groove, was it, back in the day? That was to be a movie star, though.
That was more fun than the Never Gonna Be the Next Saturday Night Fever. I mean, I think it's what makes you happy, and what makes me happy is making music that I like, and you know, being involved in clubs and parties that I enjoy. I mean, the commercial success isn't really some, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I feel I'm successful in my own right, so that's enough for me. Do I strive to be on Top of the Pops or whatever sort of relevant program similar to that? Not really. It's not really in my goal, because everything starts changing and you have to start, you know, doing stuff that I wouldn't really feel comfortable with. So I think if you make a record and it does well, it's doing well on its own merits, not based on I want this to go to, you know, to be on all the Radio 1 playlists and XYZ. You know, for me, it's about feeling comfortable with what you do. I mean, you know, if you look at Guetta, I mean, he's had a huge success. I mean, he's probably had the same amount of number ones as some of the biggest acts that are out there now. So, I mean, fair play to him. You know, he's not tried to jump on any bandwagon, because he, you know, that's the music he's been making for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that it's successful is fair play to him. But it's not the music that I play. So, you know, I don't think you're going to see me in the charts anytime soon with a rapper, you know.
I actually remember you playing a David Guetta track a while back, though, wasn't it? Wasn't it the Joe T. Vanelli mix of Love Don't Let Me Go? I think you played it on the Essential Mix in Space about 4 years ago.
God, you got a better memory than me.
Ah, you see? That's a train spotter for you. That's a train spotter. I remember that years ago. I was in Ibiza that summer and I really wanted that track for some reason. Obviously, I think it was just because I'd heard you play it in Space. Filthy grinding sounds of Anonym. It's A is for Acid here on B102-103. Easily one of the biggest tracks for me in recent years. It's like about 3 years old now and it still wrecks any dance floor. And you'll still get people coming up to you as well. What's that? What's that? What's that? When's it coming out? When's it coming out? And it's like, man, it's been around for ages. You just got to be digging for these things. Speaking of digging, this next tune, one that I completely stumbled upon by accident. In the 90s, the Wu-Tang Clan pretty much changed the face of hip-hop from their base on Staten Island in New York. Obviously, they had a huge influence on a little German kid who grew up to be Claptone. He's put his own twist on this track, pretty much capturing the soul of the original, but bringing it right up to date in a house music vein. This is Cream. Tonight's guest is widely considered to be one of the most important names in house and techno. He's just celebrated the 20th anniversary of his seminal imprint Planet E with an amazing best of release. The legend that is Mr. Carl Craig. How are you, sir?
What's up?
20 years to be at the top of your game label-wise. It's quite a long time, Carl. How did the shift in the business model affect you? Did you find it tough, the whole switch over to digital, or, you know, is vinyl still going strong for you?
Yeah, you know, vinyl just is not what it used to be. I love it, and, you know, we're always going to be a vinyl label, but, you know, unfortunately, all these pirates out here, all these people who think that Jack Sparrow out here taking the music and giving it away, you know, has definitely killed it for a lot of folks. And, you know, it used to be where a lot of artists could live on their music, but nowadays, you know, I've got to get a job at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it yourself that took it into your own hands? You kind of bootlegged a bootlegger, so to speak, a few years back.
Yeah, I did that a few times. I did that recently on SoundCloud. So, you know, it's the concept that, you know, if someone wants to bootleg my record and try to sell it, or, you know, mash it up as a what is considered a bootleg or edit or whatever, then, you know, I will just take it and I will put it on SoundCloud for free, you know.
You will claim your rights, so to speak.
I will claim the right for it, yeah.
Speaking of SoundCloud, Carl, I know Ireland has a little claim there with Planet E these days, seeing as you signed the Psychotron Boys, and that all came from them leaving something in your Dropbox. Do you find much new talent that way, or do you find with the internet, because it's so big and so vast, you get a lot of terrible music and it's hard to, you know, track down those gems?
Well, man, you know, when I signed Recluse put a demo tape in a sandwich. So
something different.
So it doesn't matter where it comes from, as long as I like it.
Forthcoming on Kerry Chandler's Mad Tech Recordings the middle of next month. It's new from Waifs and Strays. Don't Just Stop here on Beat 102, 103. Now, the mighty Viva Warriors making their way back to Ibiza this coming summer season. Every Sunday night they're going to be at Sankey's in Playa Dembosa. Well, what does that matter to you, you may ask? The lovely folks at Rebel Butterfly, who represent Viva Warriors, have given me a season pass, which basically means that if you win it, you can go to any of the Viva Warriors nights that happen. So it doesn't matter if you're going in June, it doesn't matter if you're going in August, you can use them. You can even give them to your mates. It's as simple as that. I think it's 10 nights they're doing all together, jam-packed lineups there, crazy names attached. And to be a winner, all you simply have to do is tell me who is the main man behind Viva Warriors, their leader, so to speak. 085 1029 103, send me a text. Lucky Texter 102, gonna grab that pass. And here's a little hint.
Hi, this is Steve Lawler, and you're listening to Darren Rice on the Saturday Selection.
Selection on Beat. Now tonight you've already heard from Joris Vaughan and Charles Seagling of Technasia. My next guest is the man who would normally be at the very top of their promo list when they've got something new to plug. I've been a fan of his for near on 10 years now, and he's as synonymous with techno as the Roland 909. There's not a whole lot that can be really said about him that hasn't been before. The Baron of Techno himself, Mr. Dave Clark, how are you?
Wow, that's an intro. You're professional.
I don't know about professional now, Dave. Let's just say the pay isn't too bad, and I'm better at it than any other job I've ever had, okay?
You're a smooth talker.
Well, you're not too bad yourself now on that radio show of yours.
Yeah, I know.
Getting down to business, I Love Techno was last week. You, of course, have been playing at the festival for over 10 years now, and you hosted the Red Room, as you have been doing in recent years. How do you feel about the festival as a whole these days, Dave?
I knew you were smooth talking me into something.
I'm not trying to hand you a loaded gun here now or anything, but when you take a look at your Red Room, it seems like the last bastion of great techno in amongst a load of commercial names, the likes of Steve Aoki and A-Track, for example. Now, I know you don't want to step on any toes here, but at the end of the day, you're Dave Clark, and I know you're going to have a major opinion on it.
Well, the thing is, the way I see it is, what's it called? It's called I Love Techno. And for me, I love techno. And I'm in a room where I'm loving techno. And that's all I'm going to say.
Tonight's selected mixer is to house music what bread is to butter. You can't have one without the other. You can, but it'd taste manky. His tracks have been around for what, like 15, 20 years, still doing the business on dance floors today. He's almost as famous these days for the arguments he tends to get himself into on Twitter and other social media networks with big names like Steve Angelo and anyone kind of pushing that modern day EDM sound. He has got a point. I'm not one to take sides. Kerry Chandler once said that if he wanted anybody backing him in a fight, it'd be this next guy. And to be honest, I totally agree. He's absolutely massive. The house gangster himself, all the way from Chicago. It's DJ Sneak.
This week's selected mix.
Putting it down, know what I mean? Putting it down, know what I mean? With a career spanning over 20 years and a discography that is second to none, my guest tonight is one of the true originators of deep house music. Growing up amongst a family of jazz musicians and with a father who was a DJ as well, he was pretty much destined to live his life in time with the Beats. He makes a long-awaited return to Waterford City for the Republic crew this May Bank Holiday Sunday the 6th. Kerry Chandler, what up? You good?
I'm very good, man. It's great to speak with you.
One thing you could say that you've always been credited for, Kerry, in house music circles is that you never sold out. You've never compromised your sound for anyone. Whereas, you know, in the past 20 years, you've had the likes of Morales and Junior Sanchez all remixing Madonna and all these other big chart names. Did the corporate suits come often knocking at your door? You know, were you ever in a position whereby you could have taken that road but refused to?
Yeah, man, I've had a few. I had a lot. And I just can't. My thing is, it's like these people already have credible careers. They've already had, you know, why do you need a dance remix for Madonna or anybody of these, you know, this caliber? You need a dance remix for Beyonce? That doesn't make any sense to me. It's like you're already doing rhythm and blues and you know, you're already making millions of sales. Why are you trying to mess with a niche that you don't really need to? This is like, you know, underground dance music. And I've turned down lots of people. I mean, the first person that approached me with that kind of thing had to be like, it was Michael Jackson.
No way.
And they wanted me to remix one of his newer songs. I think it was like Jam at the time or something. And I could not do it. I was just like, I can't hear this. This doesn't make any sense to me. There's no words to it. And it's, you know, it's not really a song to me, you know. And then they wanted me to like try, if I did do it, keep the rap in with Heavy D on it. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not into that kind of thing. I just won't. And then, I mean, they thought that if they get Michael to actually physically call me, that I would change my mind. And I told them exactly what it was. I just can't do it. And the same reason I'm telling you, it's like, it really doesn't need it. And it's not the kind of music I make. I don't want to try to recreate a remix or something like that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So hang on a second now, Kerry. You're telling me that the late, great Michael Jackson, the king of pop, rang you up and asked you to remix his track, and you told him no?
I told him I'm more than welcome, a real production.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I would do something with him if he wanted to, like, you know, because I love his older stuff. I'm, you know, a big fan of his work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff he did with Quincy. But that second one, I just couldn't. You know, I told him he's more than welcome, you know, I can do anything he'd like, you know, production wise. I said, but as far as a remix for that song, I couldn't do it.
And what was his reaction?
Surprised. And he just said, I'm so sorry that, you know, you're not into it.
That is an amazing story, Kerry. That is definitely one for the grandkids. My God.
Oh, no. You know, the even funnier one was, I was still shocked to this day, and I give him props for this, for doing this. I was in L.A., and I was playing this club called Deep with Marcus Wyatt. And out of nowhere, Prince was there. Like, he's actually in the club. Like, I didn't realize he was there. And he walks up. And he looks at me, and I have the keyboard set up. And he asked me, you know, what song the key was in, you know? And he looked at the keyboard, and he just started playing, like jamming along.
No way.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's odd little things. I feel very blessed to have, like, these weird little improv things for people that I've actually grown up listening to their music and, you know, really look up to. So that, to me, was like shocker of the night, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah, well, to me it was like, I didn't even know he was there, and he just walks up out of nowhere and just asked me what the key of the song was, and it just started jamming along. I was like, whoa, okay.
The purple one jamming.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
If you know your music, you'll know the original of that track is on one of the greatest mix albums of all time, Sasha Ibiza Global Underground from the late 90s. And that is the Paolo Mojo remix of BT's Fibonacci sequence. It was unreleased, only came out on a white label vinyl. I actually bought a copy all the way from Germany. Cost me about €10 to buy the 12-inch. Cost me another 40 to put new needles on my decks. So by the time I ripped it to digital, £50. But look, that's what you got to pay to have this hard to get music, isn't it? Finishing off tonight, Blauwan, one of the new breed of techno superstars breaking through. The sample in this track, it's lifted from the Fugees, although you wouldn't recognize it because he's twisted and turned it so much. This is Why They Hide Their Bodies Under My Garage.
Beats 102, 103.
It is without doubt that this week's guest will go down in history as one of the true pioneers of techno. He's been responsible for some of the most defining records of the past two decades and still continues to impress both through his Axis and Purpose Maker imprints. He's one of the main headliners at this weekend's live festival at Belvedere House in Mullingar, and it truly is an honour to speak to him. Mr. Jeff Mills, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, how are you?
You're clearly a man who loves his concepts, Jeff, and who's always kind of pushed techno into the realm of, you know, being more about than what just comes out of the speakers. Many of your performances are almost like art installations, some could say. When first putting something together, do you find the music you create influences how the performance will look and feel, or is it the other way around, you know, with your idea of the performance dictating how the music sounds?
Well, the concept comes first, and from that really decides what the music's going to sound like, and then even also, you know, the color of lighting, the position of the lighting, the stage, the position, my wardrobe. I mean, it really kind of dictates what's going to happen in that time after the, you know, the release of that project.
Back around the time of the Exhibitionist release, Jeff, although it was largely well received and has joined your Liquid Rooms mix as like a seminal point in techno, I remember reading some reviews that complained maybe about the quality of beat matching in parts and, you know, what some might call the rawness of the mix. Does it annoy you sometimes that you put so much work into a concept and people seem to focus on, you know, the mere technical end of things and, you know, they don't appreciate the music and understand what the concept is all about as a whole?
No. I mean, well, you know, people, even the people that were complaining, are not perfect. So if you're watching a DJ mix, you know, imperfections is what we're all about. It's how we've come this far. By trial and error.
Just switching things across to the production end of things, Jeff. I know back at one point when you were producing in the 90s, the limitations of vinyl factored into the sound of the music you were creating. Do you find your production style has changed a great deal now since digital allows more scope sonically, or are you still striving to maintain a sound that can be enjoyed across all formats?
No, actually, I don't know. I mean, each producer is different, but I don't really put so much attention and so much emphasis on the quality of the sound. I mean, it's just my personal thing. I mean, there are some producers that really spend hours and hours just getting the sound quality right. I'm more concerned about whether the music really has a substantial message to say. Like when you listen to it for the first time, does it really touch the listener in a way that might make that person want to maybe hear it again because it makes them feel a certain way?
For many people, Jeff, you know, who maybe say be getting into techno for the first time and would come across your name, the Bells kind of rings out as the quintessential Jeff Mills tune, and you know, I know you still play it even today. Out of all your productions, are you kind of happy to be defined by the Bells, maybe by future generations, or do you feel are there other productions of yours out there that, you know, deserve more merit, so to speak?
Well, I think it changes. I mean, I think that if the material is accessible, you know, for the people through, you know, throughout the decades and things, it can have a tendency to change. So the Bells for 20 years, and then it could be something else.
Freshly mixed and mastered straight out of the studio. That's a brand new track from myself. It's coming out on my label Heavy Reel Towards Christmas, featuring DJ Assault, Booty in the Air. Now, this next track, there's a bit of a story behind it. You might remember the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith. Well, that was loosely kind of based on a Charlton Heston movie from the 70s called The Omega Man. If you don't know who Charlton Heston is, ask your mom or dad. And basically, Detroit producer Robert Hood is a big, big fan of the movie. So much so, he wanted to rescore it himself. Now, there's a story, of course, that if you hit play on Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon at the very start of The Wizard of Oz, the album will play perfectly in sync with the movie and events will, you know, go off as soon as there's changes in tracks. This is on the same kind of tip. His new album, which is actually called Omega, basically runs alongside the movie The Omega Man. I haven't tried it out myself. I have it on good authority that it does work, though. There's even cool little bits that go on with Morse code in the film, and you know, they're represented in the tracks as well. I picked my favorite tune off it, and this is Robert Hood with Alpha.
Hi everybody, this is Christian Smith and you're listening to Darren Rice on Beats 102-103.